The Brewers let a really good opportunity slip away. But we're going to look at the bigger picture here. We're going to look at the silver lining. If I told you the Brewers are going to go 3-4 against the Dodgers this season, especially at the start of this 13-game stretch, I think you would have taken it. Cubs series and disappointment of that aside, 3-4 against the best team in baseball, but the missed opportunity of just needing to win one of the last two, it's a perfect storm. Brewers, it's gut check time, as I've said before. This is it. It's now or never. This is the time to hit the pedal to the metal. Let's enjoy this off day and set the stage for what the Brewers have ahead of them on Locked On Brewers.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning. I'm Dominic Catronio. It is August 25th. It's an off day. Buckle up. This is going to be a hard stretch to just get yourself up and ready to play. I'm Dominic Catronio. This is your only podcast dedicated daily to your Milwaukee Brewers. I'm the statistician of Bally Sports Wisconsin, and I'm the post-game host on WTMJ. So if you haven't checked me out over there on WTMJ, check us out here on Locked On Brewers. Check us out over there live after the games as well for Brewers extra innings. 12-6, the final last night. Adrian Hauser gets the loss. Andrew Heaney looks like Cy Young again against the Brewers. He gets the win. And Pablo Reyes had to finish out the game, and he only needed 9 pitches to throw a 1-2-3 bottom of the 8th inning. Missed opportunity. We're going to talk about that here in a second. We're going to look at what the Brewers have ahead of them. And we're going to talk about the injury updates, what the 5th starter looks like, and briefly touch on the 2023 schedule that came out yesterday as well. Brewers had Adrian Hauser on the mound. And I had a few questions about this in the post-game show yesterday and even on Twitter. Why the heck did Adrian Hauser get the ball? Well, if you recall, it was supposed to be Aaron Ashby yesterday, but he's now on the injured list with left shoulder inflammation, which let's just hope that's a minor thing. If he's back in September, you're going to need him, obviously. And the big thing that's going to be talked about is the 5th starter role. Hauser's back. He's healthy enough. He threw 81 pitches in this game. He worked into the third, which wasn't ideal, but you knew he was going to be on a very short leash in this game. The Brewers found themselves wanting to give Adrian Hauser one more rehab assignment, but with Aaron Ashby suddenly having his shoulder flare up during the Chicago series, realizing they may not have that luxury with Hauser being able to go down to the minor leagues for another appearance. He had made 3 appearances in the minors, and the last of which really did not inspire confidence for the Brew Crew. What were they going to do? Facing the worst possible scenario, the best lineup in baseball, you're right-handed, so all of their biggest power bats are going to be in the order of Muncy, of Gallo, of, well, Freeman plays every day, but Gallo and Muncy, Bellinger, it was going to be a tough stretch. And not exactly in form right now is Hauser, and not quite built up. Hauser's not quite been the same this season. There's something off, something not quite working for him like the Brewers had hoped. He's got his career low ground ball rate, which is still slightly above MLB's average. But for him, a guy that relies on the ground ball, relies on getting weak contact, making sure guys get themselves out, as opposed to striking everybody out and being a control freak, that has not been the Adrian Hauser we have seen this year as opposed to what we saw last season. 26 games started last year for Hauser, 142 innings, a 3.22 ERA, a 1.27 whip, 105 strikeouts in those 142 innings, yes, 64 walks isn't great, but when you look at it last year, a ground ball rate of 59%. This year, it's just 47%. His walk rate, a little higher than what you would be excited about, 11%, but it's not much better this year at 9%. Strikeout rate is virtually the same. Opponent's batting average is 50 points higher just about this season as opposed to last season. And what I look at for a ground ball pitcher is the BABIP, the batting average on balls in play. Meaning, when they're putting a ball in play, are they getting hits? Are they is finding holes. Are the ground balls going to fielders? Are they shifting properly? Things of that nature. Well, that has increased as well. His BABIP has increased versus 2021. I'm not putting all the blame of this on Adrian Hauser. He was just activated, and he is going to be a huge part of this next stretch coming up for the Brew Crew. Remember, they're rolling into 18 games in 17 days. We've talked about the 31 and 31. But this is the hard part of it now, the second half of it, because at the very end of this, you'll have a doubleheader coming up against the Giants. The only redeeming quality about these 18 games in 17 days is the quality of opponent you're facing, but you're going to need a fifth starter at least three times. And Hauser getting off on the wrong foot to get things going for the Brewers, they're going to need him to get back on the right track and get back on the horse moving forward for the rest of this season. However many starts that may be for Hauser. Maybe Ashby just goes straight back into the bullpen. Hauser, at the start of the year, remember, he was the unearned run guy. In the first 2 months of the season, he had thrown 46 innings. There were 8 unearned runs scored behind him in this game, but the walks were so high in his first 9 starts. He had 20 walks in his first 9 starts. And opponents, yes, they didn't really hit all that much against him, a 3.69 ERA. They still scored 28 runs against him. The walks are high. He's walked at least one batter in every single game. Now, 4 walks in this game, you can't get away with that against a team like the Dodgers. If you're giving free passes, and remember, he was gifted a lead in the first inning thanks to Willy Adames. For it to disappear as quickly as it did for Adrian Hauser sucked the life out of the Brewers' dugout. They knew as soon as that 4 runs were posted on the board in the bottom of the first inning, man, we're not going to be able to keep up in a slugfest with the Dodgers. They knew that. You knew that. The Dodgers knew that as well. And yes, they had a fresh bullpen ready to go, but when you're trailing, you're not going to use your main guys, especially when it suddenly becomes, in the blink of an eye, 12-2. The Brewers are going to need Adrian Hauser, so don't write him off yet. This dude is going to be, if the Brewers have any hope of making the postseason, we have a postseason picture coming up here in just a second. If the Brewers have any hope of making the postseason, a lot of it is going to ride on Adrian Hauser. He's only 29 years old. He is still under team control for another 2 seasons, not only next year, but the year after as well. And remember, if folks want to make a thing out of it, after he lost his arbitration case, everything kind of went downhill from there. I look back to that start against the St. Louis Cardinals on May 28th, right after losing the arbitration, when he allowed 8 runs, 5 of them earned. He rebounded against San Diego on June 2nd, but then he hasn't been the same ever since. From the month of June and into this last start, he's allowed at least 3 runs in every single start. He has not gone longer than 6 innings, but the games that he's gone 6 innings, it's mostly his mop-up duty because he needs to make sure he keeps the Brewers ahead. He has only earned 1 win since June 2nd, and if you can go even further back than that, his last win was June 19th. Other than that, it was May 5th. He needs to get back on the horse, find a way to keep the Brewers competitive in the games that he pitches, a la what Jason Alexander was doing at the end of the first half when he was first coming up while waiting on Freddie Peralta's return. That's what Adrian Hauser is going to need to do moving forward. And if he can just tap back into a little bit of that 2021 version of himself, that will give the Brewers a chance to win and a chance to make it into the postseason. Let's talk about the postseason now. Before we do that, a quick breather. You're hanging out with some friends and putting back a few drinks. A few becomes a few too many. And as the evening comes to an end, people start to head out. You start thinking, calling for a ride. Nah, I live nearby. You can make it home. It's no big deal. What are the odds you get pulled over anyway? And even so, what's the worst that could happen? Your insurance goes up, you lose your license, you lose your job, you total your car, you kill someone. Everyone knows about the risks of driving drunk. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, that doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel under the influence. That's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads to save lives. So, if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe and plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's forever. Drive sober or get pulled over. A message from NHTSA. Playoffs are relatively unchanged, and I want to get on a little tangent here about the playoffs. And as we look at the standings on every given day, the standings, let me tell you a little secret, okay? It's kind of like college football rankings in week 4. Nobody's going to care. It matters in the moment and for the series that you're playing. Like, if Wisconsin's playing a ranked Ohio State team, but then they lose three consecutive games, whatever, and they fall out of the rankings, well, you can say, well, hey, the Badgers played Wisconsin when they were number two in the land. But right now, the Brewers, the playoff picture relatively unscathed. Thanks to the Cubs. The Cubs beat the Cardinals yesterday, so you remain 5.5 back of the Cardinals in the Central, which continues to look bleaker and bleaker given, you know, the calendar is not on your side as trying to catch the calendars here, catch the Cardinals down the stretch. But the wild card, relatively unchanged because the Padres also lost yesterday. You're currently 1.5 back of the Padres for the last wild card spot. The Phillies did win, so they are adding on their lead on the Padres. All that really matters is winning. What I mean by saying it kind of feels like week four college football rankings because the standings on August 25th, let me let you in on a secret, they don't matter. The standings that matter is on October 5th, the last day of the season. What does it say on the last day of the season? Are you in? Cool. You can pay attention in the last 2 weeks, really get into the scoreboard watching, making sure that you win when the other team loses, give yourself a little bit best effort. What's going to be hard for the Brewers is the fact that, of course, San Diego, a West Coast team, they'll be watching what the Brewers are doing, and the Brewers will generally be gone final before the Padres game is over. And by the way, Josh Hader did pitch yesterday in a non-ninth inning role as they got blown out by the Guardians 7-0 did the Padres. But the Brewers, this is the opportunity. This is when they need to get back. As I just said, the standings don't matter until October 5th, but this is when they can create some noise. This next five-series stretch plus a doubleheader. They are not going to face another team above 500 until mid-September when they go the gauntlet, their last stretch of tough games. They'll have two against St. Louis in Busch. They'll have three at home against the Yankees and three at home against the Mets. However, these next five series plus a doubleheader, none of them are against 500 opponents. But Dom, they stink against teams under 500. You're right. I get it. But all that's in the past. If they can come out and prove what they are worth and what they're supposed to be playing like, then you're going to start believing. And then you're also not going to be allowed to say, oh, well, Dom, they did what they were supposed to do against a sub 500 team. They finally beat the Cubs or they finally beat the Pirates. This is what they're supposed to be doing all along. Baseball doesn't work like that. Okay, the Pirates even won a road series in Los Angeles this year. Nobody freaked out about that. Bad teams beat good teams all the time in baseball. It is hard to win in baseball. Sometimes teams have your number. I'm not making that as an excuse. The Cubs are 9-7 against the Brewers this year. The Pirates are now 7-9. They've won. They're on a winning streak now. They've won 5 in a row against the Brewers. Where do the Brewers draw the line and say, enough is enough, we are better than you, and let's start to prove it with the Cubs coming to town on Friday? They'll have Freddie Peralta going on Friday against another lefty in Justin Steele. Keep that in mind. Brandon Woodruff gets the start on Saturday, which lines up Eric Lauer for Sunday against the Cubs. We'll see what they roll with. Kyle Hendricks' season is done. They've made a ton of roster moves as of late. Cubs roster rotation, anyway, is going to be a little funky. We'll know more for tomorrow's episode on Locked On Brewers. But listen to these opponents coming up. Cubs for 3 this weekend. Pirates for 3 at home Monday through Wednesday of next week. You go to Arizona for 4 over Labor Day weekend. You go to Colorado for 3 during the Labor Day work week. And back home for 2, a doubleheader in the same day against the Giants. Home for 3 over a weekend against the Reds. Then you finally have an off day on September 12th. That is a great opportunity over these next 5 series. So adding it up real quick, that's 6, that's 10, that's 13, that's 15. 18 games in 17 days. Every time I seem to put a record on it or a goal or an expectation, they fall woefully short. But as I said at the opener of this podcast, I would have taken 3-4. I think you would have too. What stings and leaves the bad taste in your mouth is that all you had to do was win one more game to win the season series against the Dodgers. And you had Corbin Burns going on Tuesday and just hoping for the best on Wednesday with Adrian Hauser. It didn't go their way. It is what it is. but looking for these 18 games, and it's going to be tough without these off days, with today being the last off day for a while. 18 games against sub 500 opponents, only 7 of them on the road. I mean, you got to find a way to win at least 4 of these series. Win these 4 of these 5 series outright. Splits and doubleheaders are fine because it's such a crapshoot. Depends on who's available in the bullpen. I don't put pressure to sweep a doubleheader by any means, but there's pressure on the Brewers to go something like a 12-6, a 13-5, a 14-4 somewhere in here to find a way to get hot, send a message to the rest of the National League that they aren't going anywhere. Only 4 more games head-to-head. You can win all 4 games against the Cardinals and still not win the Central. They've dug themselves a hole. They have to be looking at just winning. Winning against teams they're supposed to beat. And you look at this box score. Willie Adames and Hunter Renfroe, they have 6 of the 9 hits in the game. They both hit a home run. Granted, Renfroe's comes off of a position player. Where else is the offense going to come from? The Brewers need to find sustainable ways to win. Yes, they hit a couple home runs. That's great. They lost 12-6. 2 of the runs were scored against a position player. Willie Adames, 3 pitches into the game, hits an opposite field home run. Then the offense goes quiet from there. Renfroe has an RBI double. One of the doubles by Adames was basically an error by Joey Gallo. They need to find a way to just continue rallies and not just hit the home run and go quiet from there. And all these lefties are facing are not helpful. They need to find a solution against southpaws. You know that already. Let's go ahead and take a peek ahead at 2023. Some interesting notes at that. And look around the league as we get ready for the Cubs coming to town tomorrow. 2023 schedule is out. The biggest stuff that I draw my eye to, of course, that we knew this already from the CBA, but that every single team is going to face every single team. So you will have fewer divisional games now, and you will have at least one series with every team in the American League. And it sounds like it's going to alternate year to year from where you're going to play that series, whether it be at home or on the road. So you're going to see some old foes that you haven't seen at American Family Field for a while, and you're going to go to some cities that you haven't been to in a while. I look at April. The Brewers are going to Seattle for the first time since 2016. They will host Boston for the first time since 2017. And they'll host Los Angeles. Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani are coming to town at the end of April. They will host Houston for the first time since a 2-gamer in 2019. Aside from that, 2016, of course, the old NL Central foes. They'll go to Toronto for the first time since 2017. And also, Baltimore and Oakland will come here for the first time in a while. Oakland hasn't been here since 2016. Baltimore since 2017. And the Yankees haven't been here as well since 2017. Or the Brewers, I should say, haven't been to Yankee Stadium since 2017. Back, they'll be there in September. 13 divisional games now against your opponent. So it's still an odd number. You'll still have that tiebreaker existing. Try to figure out how, you know, if the records are tied at the end of the year, how do you avoid a game 163 to see who wins the outright division? The Brewers, we've talked about a lot about, oh, the Central's so bad and the AL Central's so bad. They get that advantage by facing the Twins every year. And now you're going to face the White Sox next year. You're going to go down to Comiskey. Or, I can't believe I just said Comiskey. Guaranteed Rate Field to see them again, the old American League style of the rivalry. But this should help everybody in regards to maybe the Central's get exposed. Maybe another division showcases its weaknesses. I look at the AL West next season. That could be the punching bag for a lot of teams because the A's are obviously not very good. The Angels are going to be in a weird flux. Do they consider trading Shohei Ohtani by next deadline? Will Mike Trout stay healthy? They're not going to be very good. The Rangers are still probably 2 years away, depending on what they do in free agency. So it's really just the class of the Mariners and the Astros like we're seeing right now in the American League West, kind of like what we're seeing in the National League Central with the Cardinals and the Brewers. Maybe this helps out the Central to get some street cred and to get some help from everybody else saying, like, well, maybe the Central's not that bad. The AL Central might be that bad. Shout out to the Guardians, what they're doing right now. But We all know the AL East is dominant. The Brewers are not going to necessarily avoid them since they're facing them this year. And isn't it amazing that the Brewers have got a series win against the Orioles? They swept the Rays 4-0. They've won a series against the Red Sox. They've still got the Yankees lurking as well. But what a stretch it's been against the National League East. Kudos to them for figuring things out, getting things going in the right direction. And they won a series against the Blue Jays. They played really well against the East. That should be worth something as well. Just like going 3-4 against the Dodgers should be worth something for them too. So I'm very excited about the 2023 schedule. There's only a handful of three-city road trips, and there are not three consecutive three-city road trips like we saw this season. So that is some great news for the Brewers. Kudos to all the traveling secretaries out there who have the thankless, hardest job in baseball to make sure everyone is happy. Hotels, buses, travels, charters, meals, everything. I mean, all the little things. There's a big team that has to figure all that stuff out. And the Brewers sounds like they've got some of the best in the business. I just want to jump in here and try to calm the masses and saying, yeah, they're running out of time. You're absolutely right about that. Have they been playing baseball that inspires fans? Probably not these days, but this is the opportunity. These 18 games, dig deep, show what you've got, because it's going to be over in the blink of an eye. They're only 7 games above 500, 65-58. You do the math, there's only 39 games to go. It's real now. Where is the inspiration going to come from the Brew Crew? Is Willie Adames going to continue to carry this team? Is Corbin Burns going to snap out of this mini funk that he's in? Is Freddie Peralta going to snap into Cy Young form? Brandon Woodruff has been terrific. Devin Williams, is he going to flourish as the closer? Is Matt Bush the new eighth inning man? There are plenty of storylines that are very intriguing to see how it's going to go. And when is Trevor Rosenthal going to return? When is a guy like Jace Peterson going to return? Hopefully he returns tomorrow. It seems like everything has gone off without a hitch in rehab so far for him in Appleton. Mike Brasso coming off the bench. He's going to be on the shelf for a while with his oblique strain. They're dealing with adversity. They're dealing with a lack of momentum right now. But as I like to say, what a story it would be, right? What a story it would be, despite all odds, despite how poorly they've played. Don't let the Brewers get hot, because if they get hot, every team knows they've got the pitching that every other team in the league is terrified of. And the home runs that can drop at the drop of a hat, look out. It can be flash. It can happen very, very fast for the Brewers. I'm repeating myself now. If you can't tell, I'm pretty tired, but I'm fired up, man. This is crunch time. I am in for September baseball. The pennant chase is on. Let's have some fun with the Cubbies this weekend. As I wrap up this pod, I do want to say a quick congratulations to our friends with the Cubs, and specifically to Pat Hughes. If you haven't seen it already, Marquis had a great moment. He's the radio voice, of course, of the Chicago Cubs. He's been there since the mid-90s, and a former Brewers broadcaster as well with Bob Uecker for 12 seasons, former voice of Marquette basketball as well back in the day. But he is going into the Chicago Cubs Hall of Fame. It's his 40th consecutive season of calling baseball. Congratulations to Pat Hughes. That was a really bad Pat Hughes, but one of the nicest dudes in the business. Really, really happy for Pat and a former Brewer. I'm sure Bob Uecker is very happy, a former partner getting his due, even though it is with the Cubs, of course. But there's a great moment on Marquee. Find it on their Twitter page. I'll retweet it first thing this morning, of him finding out they surprised him live on the air, and it was a really touching moment. So congratulations to Pat Hughes and his family going into Chicago Cubs Hall of Fame. Brewers are facing them tomorrow at 7:10. More on that series coming up tomorrow. My name is Dominic Catronio. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBrewers or myself at Dom_Catronio. Right back here tomorrow. Hey, I got Brewers Weekly tonight at 8 o'clock on WTMJ. You can listen online as well. You can participate in the show as well. We'll see you then. Until next time, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.